annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Indeed it is, Season 2, Episode 10 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and next to me is
the Duke of Canberra. Hello, everyone.
Yes, we decided against our better judgment to get Duke Didier back. But no, Stevie's off being Stevie, doing a million things. He's been the busiest dude in Canberra the last few weeks.
He's been all over the shop.
Yeah, emceeing all sorts of... He's even emceeing events for me that I can't do.
I reckon he's got those Velcro suits you can just rip off and put them straight back on him.
Yeah, it's just changes colour of his tie. It's what men can get away with. Carl Stefanovic on the Today Show wore the same suit every day for 12 months and no one noticed because he changed his tie every day.
There's... few feminazis be upset about that.
Indeed they would. Now, before we get into it, boys, you two have just been passing diseases on to each other the last few
weeks. Well, Duke's been passing them to me, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's all my fault. Yeah, blame old Duke.
But because, Benny, you were just telling me, since your fight, you really haven't been out of the house, and you had your broken foot leading into the fight, then you got stitches during the fight. Then after that,
stitches were just straight after.
Straight after the fight, yeah. But
I think I'm a pretty tough bloke, but I don't know about stitches during the fight.
You caught a raft of diseases off Duke.
Yeah, basically, it's been great.
Yeah, look, we could say that.
I
don't just produce these diseases. Obviously, they come from somewhere else as well.
It's just grapples. There's a lot of dirty grapples out there, man.
I don't know. I've been grappling for 20 years, and ever since I've been working with Ben, all of a sudden, scabies, staff. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it.
I've never had a skin problem either.
So scabies.
Okay, let's start.
That was
scabies,
the first one.
Real flu and staph.
Yeah, the flu this year's been a killer. A lot of people have been
knocked
on their ass.
My mom's still 6 weeks in. She's still got a
cold.
Yeah, Dad was
and Duke was he was in hospital on the drip with his staph thing, so. And I was there a few days later, so it's pretty bloody serious stuff, man. People die from it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, golden staph is obviously the worst one that kills a lot of people, but this is the precursor to it. And we saw your video, Benny, you put it up, getting surgery in hospital. You're like Dr. Pimple Popper. She gets shared all over the internet and lots of views.
Yeah, I just wanted some bit of attention.
Yeah, gross. I told him, I said, does it need to go on social
media? Take it down, I'm offended.
Man, I love those pimple popping videos. I think they're fantastic.
No, the autumn all you're off them, aren't you?
I feel like I'm going to offend someone. I'm posting
Oh, dear. Well,
how are you going, man? Nothing about health problems.
Yeah, I'm all right.
He's back, baby.
You saw the white light. There was no light.
There was no light. There was no nothing. No, I still can't sleep laying down. I'm still sleeping in a chair because of the ribs and the intercostal muscles and stuff.
You're turning into... Do your parents sleep upright?
No. Dad's got a hospital bed, mate. Well, but no, I've got a mate. He's dad. He sleeps in a recliner. So and I think your
both
dad
my parents
does.
Sleep yeah, upright there you and go. Have for
I'm just
years.
Sick of it. I'm dead set sick of sleeping in a chair. But mate, that's considering what happened to me a few weeks back. Well, 5 weeks ago today it was.
Oh really?
Still bloody lucky.
Broken ribs, buck back, and Achilles, and other stuff.
I've had a good year too. when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Health, man.
That's something going on. The only fit person is the one that's not here, and that's Stevie P. But Benny, UFC 215, we're going to talk that, and obviously Diamond Dave Tesayton on the local scene did very well on Friday night at Capital Fight Show 12, I think it was.
Yeah, he's got the strap against the super tough Liam Hutchinson. Man.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'd really like to see the fight, but that Liam, he's tough as nails. Man. Never
and the cut
dropped,
on his head was about
stopped.
3 inches long. Yeah, apparently there was blood everywhere.
That happens like a lot of the times when it's a lefty versus a righty matchup. Yeah, your feet get tangled up and so do the head sometimes. But it's round six, so I went to after four rounds, it goes to the scorecards. Yep. So
Dave was the first person to stop this bloke inside the rounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by all reports, Dave was well on top on the scorecards as well at that point in time.
He was shredded too, man.
Dave, he was looking fit. I recorded a few bits and pieces with Stevie P for Fight Call Out TV with him, and we had to do a training montage, and, man, he was looking fit
I see him come in first session off a holiday, and he's not looking bad.
I think he's probably the fittest guy I know.
And here you go, Juki, as far as fighting and all that stuff. I know you're swapping diseases with Benny, mate, but where are you at?
Speed hump. But, no, going along really well. I've been doing a few jiu-jitsu comps just because it's – It's similar to the MMA. It's yep. got the grappling style. And then we're looking towards November now
yep.
for an MMA fight. We're just trying to find someone. I mean, we've been offered a few things and a few different promotions around Australia. I'll be fighting out of town for the first time.
Yep.
And, yeah, we'll see, see what's on offer. I'm just keen. I've been training. I've been training all the way through Ben's fight, all the way through now.
Yep.
I only had a week off for a little trip to hospital for the staff. But yep. Other than that, I'm fit. I'm ready to go now.
All right. Yeah. We need to get a bus, some sort of get Dean's bus line, get the Duke Didier Express to wherever you're fighting.
Yeah, I think we're talking either Melbourne or Gold Coast. So the big trip.
That's a big bus trip.
On the coast, I'm taking his dad's Cadillac. I'm driving with Jeff.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that soon. Music on the way. Great listener question, and I'll be looking forward to getting your take on boys. But right now, I know, you guys know I'm a big fan of these boys, the Screaming Jets. I went to school with a few of the lads, and 15 months after their last album, Chrome, was released, it's re-entered the top 15 of the Australian charts.
That was the first band we played on here.
They were, yes, yeah. Smack in the Mouth off this very album 2 years ago. So that album has re-entered the charts this week in the top 20 a year and a half after its release, just on live sales. Well, just because the boys have been touring madly and people are just buying the
Usually
album.
Usually someone's got to die to bring it back.
Yeah, no one's died in the Jets. They have replaced another drummer. They are Spinal Tap when it comes to drummers. I think drummer number 6 in the Screaming Jets now. So, I thought we'd play another track off it. This one's Scar, so that'll kick off episode 10 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. With Scotty, Benny, and Duke Didier this week, filling in for Stevie P. Thanks to The Butcher Shop.
Just tell me something I don't already know. Just let.
with Screaming Jets with Scar on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Fantastic. What was the show you decided you were going to call it last time?
I was going to do the Give Yourself an Armbar podcast.
No, well, that was last week. I saw that one. But no, last time you were here,
Give Yourself a Hip Toss, was it?
No, it had no.
You weren't given nothing. It was awesome.
It was something else. It was some take on MMA or wrestling or something. I can't remember what it was you said. But
I say a lot of things.
You need to get a lot of thought behind
it. He needs to get that on a t-shirt and write down.
Say a lot of things.
It's like his Tyrion Lannister Some quote, good. Isn't it? I drink and I know things.
I drink and I say things.
Let's do this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, Benny, take it away, my friend.
All right, let's start off with the UFC 215 from the Edmonton, Alberta in Canada. It's the second time the UFC's been there. The first time was way back. Oh, not that way back, 5 years back in 2012.
That's long enough.
That's back. And, the main event was scrapped one day before it was supposed
Mighty
to
Mouse.
Take place. Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, I'm off Mighty Mouse.
Right. You hate all the little dudes, man.
Yeah, I hate the midgets.
He's got a weird head too, hasn't he?
Oh,
mate, for a little fella, he's done well for himself.
Oh, man, he's a gun, hasn't he? He's been through his roster twice, hasn't he?
Mate, he's a machine.
Yeah.
He's got about four fans.
And you're not one of them.
Is it because he's too nice and he's just not brash or anything?
He's so plain. Plain packet of potato chips.
I think it's just his pure size, man.
And have you heard him talk? He talks about computer games. He talks about Xbox and that kind of. It doesn't relate to the fighting
The average
audience.
Fight
yeah.
fan, yeah.
And, dude, those guys, they hit each other and nothing happens, eh? They go five rounds.
Yeah.
Snooze fest.
Last lightweight, the last little guy fight I watched with Jugi is like, oh, let me guess, it was like 50 close calls and no finish. So the situation was supposed to fight TJ Dillashaw, the former champ from One Division Up, but didn't want the fight, which would have been his biggest pay-per-view draw ever.
Yeah.
And he was actually getting pay-per-view points for this one. He's actually just put on a proper manager. His coach has been managing him, but now he's got John Jones's manager, Malky Carwile.
He's got nothing else to do, has he?
Yeah, I know. We are going to talk well about that. So he didn't want to take the TJ fight because he's worried about TJ missing weight, as he's never fought in that weight before.
Yep.
But is it a bit ironic that this fight still didn't go ahead? Ray Borg was sick on fight week. The doctor didn't clear him, but Cowboy Cerrone, who's a teammate of Ray Borg from Jackson Winks, said he probably could have got past the medical if he really wanted to.
If he really wanted to.
Can we also point out that Henry Cejudo was fighting on the same card, so they've got two guys the same weight, high contenders.
And Cejudo looked a million bucks.
Because I did read and I didn't look into it on the weekend. Someone went, "Yep, we'll give you a last minute super fight." Is that the one that didn't come?
I think DJ's a lot like John Jones. He won't take those.
DJ's commented. He said, "No. That's what you do in the smokers. That's what you do in the regionals. I'm training for this person."
Yeah.
Hey, that's fine, man. But, you know, it was his show. He should feel like a little bit of responsible for the fans.
UFC put a lot of money into promoting him and all that, which is what
he's not winning himself any fans, and he hasn't won me over. And he never will.
Just Duke respects no fighters that weigh as much as his leg.
You've got to be this tall to be respected by me.
He's got a heavyweight leg at the moment with the staff in there. Yeah. So the unfortunate thing was that it actually ruined DJ's chance to beat Anderson Silva's record of 10 title defenses and get the 11th in there. So hopefully they can reschedule that in the next two UFCs they're looking to do on 217. So the new main event was the women's bantamweight champion Amanda Nunes, who...
She's very unlikable. No one likes her. She is an arrogant cow.
What are you likable?
She's jerky if he was a chick, basically.
She loves herself.
You know what? Amanda Nunes, there's nothing lovable about her, and that's why Duke gets away with being Duke.
Yeah.
I think because
he's a lovable asshole.
Nunes, she's just arrogant and she's just on herself.
Yeah. And mate, this fight ain't gonna win her any fans either. She fought the Kyrgyzstan native Valentina the Bullet Shevchenko, who I rate this chick big time, man.
Yep.
She's a machine. She's a full nomad. This is the first time she's done a camp one spot. She always travels all over the spot. I don't even know where Kyrgyzstan is, but she speaks Russian, so it's not somewhere.
Uzbekistan, all the Stans, they're all together.
Yeah. Next time, a bit of time in that area.
Yeah. Any awesome story? How awesome are those countries?
I'm not telling you any of those stories.
Do we have any Kyrgyzstan listeners?
Actually, do you know what?
On the
wireless? A couple of years ago through Podomatic, I think we did.
No, that was the one I had to tell you because we had someone in Kazakhstan.
Was that you?
Yeah, it was me. I was in Kazakhstan.
Right, okay, right.
Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan twice in 1 year. I know that area.
Yeah, that was season Europe. One. Yeah, we did have listeners over there in season one. Yeah.
That does actually ring a bell. Yeah. But yeah, so long story short, Noon's got the decision, but man, it was a bit of controversy after it. I honestly reckon the Russian chick run.
Shevchenko.
Bullet, Shevchenko. I'm just calling a bullet. But, three rounds to two at worst, if not four rounds to one for Valentina. I think a lot of the judges were thrown off because Nunes was putting the pressure on. Valentina was backing up for the most part, got a couple of takedowns, but really didn't do a lot of damage. Valentina landed the better shots, in my opinion, and clearly won at least three rounds to two.
It was closer. But the thing is with those title fights is you have to take that title. You can't...
I disagree with that, man.
Look, I do as well, but...
Whoever wins the fight, wins the fight,
but yeah, I fully agree as well. But, I mean, you look at time and true. If you're just edging out the champ, they won't give it to you.
Whether it's right or wrong, it's not.
I think if you win, you win.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're not
going to... I think it's going to be a massively dominant performance to unbelt the champ.
The judges aren't going to back themselves with a big title change unless you really, really earned it.
Okay.
I think that's a business perspective and marketing thing as well.
Yeah, probably.
Another fight that was supposed to be on the card, so they lost two in the 3 weeks leading into it, was Junior Dos Santos. Pretty much the same style as me. I'm the fat Junior Dos Santos, man. That's what I'm... Who do you reckon you are?
So Jim? You've told us.
Who do you reckon you are, man?
Brock Lesnar.
Get off.
Brock Lesnar off the pin.
He was... So JDS was supposed to fight raging French Cameroonian Francis Ngannou, but the fight was scrapped 3 weeks out as JDS popped for a diuretic, which when I first heard it, I thought it was a bit weird. Considering
the old Shane Warne story.
Well,
Mummy gave me a tablet so I didn't look fat on TV.
Well, my junior...
doesn't cut weight for this junior.
Exactly. JDS is ripped. He walks in at 240. He doesn't have to miss a meal to make weight.
He weighs about 110 for 120 kilos.
Yeah,
no
dramas there. So a lot of people are saying it's actually a masking agent for something else, which would explain.
Could be.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't trust. I'm very disillusioned with it all now. I think that, if there's smoke, there's fire. If it looks like a duck,
just because, especially the two boys you've thrown your support behind the most of the last 12 months have both been
outed
as massive pinheads.
Everyone's just on the pin.
Well, speaking of pinheads, Johnny Jones, former pound for pound number one.
Breaking my heart.
You got to say, he was the GOAT. If you're going to ask who's the best, you have to say him. He failed his post-weigh-in test for a anabolic steroid called Turanabol, which Chael Sonnen said, if you're taking Turanabol, you're a black belt in performance-enhancing drugs.
I brought it up with a few guys down at the gym, and they all said that'd be the least of the issues. If he's taking this one, then he's probably taken
a bunch of others.
He's taking the rules.
So that one covers everything else, does it?
I think it's a stack. You know, they've put everything
It's part of something else.
Yeah, it's like a big mix
bag. So he's gone the full Amy Winehouse.
But he could have been on the whole way along, because I've actually only started testing for it in the last 12 months.
For the one he got popped for?
Yeah, their testing procedures are getting better and better and better. And this original steroid popped up in with the East Germans in the Olympics in the bloody
state. And you've got to remember that John Jones's brother is in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the NFL, those guys are all jacked. That's systematic because they're allowed to be a little bit. So
really?
They don't do the same testing. Do you ever notice when Jared Hayne went over, it got all big? And then it comes back, it got all small. But I noticed, he's got brothers in the NFL, and you think that they've got a lot of money to spend on those kind of things.
Yeah.
So they've got
teams of people doing that stuff.
Yeah, like they did in the Tour de France. You hear the stories of some of the guys that were in the team with Armstrong.
Yeah.
And the lengths they went to get the drugs through the tour and how everything was put into Coke cans at the end of it and taken out in the trash. And
so he's going to have an asterisk. Yeah, absolutely. He's going to have an asterisk next to his name, whatever happens here. So
he's looking at 4 years.
Yeah. Well, he's suspended indefinitely.
And how old is he now?
He's 30.
30. So, I mean, he could still come back after 4 years, but who's going to give him a fight?
If anyone can, it's him. But
as we said, the one guy you'd think doesn't need steroids would be John Jones.
But maybe, as you said, maybe he's been on him all along. And maybe that's why he was.
Oh, I said that.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe that's so true.
They reckon if he does get suspended for the maximum sentence, which is 4 years, I think the minimum's two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I heard that somewhere. Didn't do any research.
Where do you guys say this leaves DC after that last fight? Like,
it'll be a weird feeling.
In light heavyweight purgatory.
Yeah. It'll be a weird spot to be in.
Yeah.
But he.
I think he won a lot of fans from that fight, even though he lost. He sort of, because he put it all on the line.
Well, he didn't lose badly, did he? No. Like, it was a good fight.
It was pretty even until he...
Until he went, yeah.
And but, he was gracious. You know, once he found out where he was very gracious. Because, I mean, the last fight, it didn't...
He doesn't even remember that interview.
No.
The one with Joe Rogan that everyone got the shits about.
Joe Rogan interviewed someone else again, knocked out today. Yeah.
Really?
He's eaten too much Apex, do you? And drinking bloody avocado smoothies. It's doing something to his brain.
They reckon John Jones could potentially... Well, it's pretty much... locked in that if he doesn't fight for the 4 years, he'll miss out on $80 million just in fight purses without sponsorship or anything.
Without
else.
Sponsorship?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So that means about two fights a year, about, yeah.
Well, they were talking him to fight Stipe Miocic. Yep. That's the heavyweight champion.
They were looking at that.
And then I think this is what I was thinking is that once he's that, he's got to defend it against Brock Lesnar.
Well,
that'd be what they'd do.
Yeah.
If he won there, he'd beat Stipe.
Dana said they were trying to.
Line that up.
So I reckon.
Ben's kind of mentioned it here before. When that sort of first got floated that that might happen, how happy of a boy you were, Juki.
Mate, I did when I saw that. I can't believe this is going to happen.
He was over the moon and then he was bagging out DC crying.
I wasn't bagging him out.
Yeah, I was.
So he's pretty pumped up. So on to some boxing news. Canelo Triple G, the lineal middleweight title is on this weekend.
Yeah.
They had their public workout the other day. I thought Canelo looked a little bit drained. He's actually been in camp since 2 weeks after his schmozzle of a fight with Julio Cesar Chavez on Cinco de Mayo, the 6th of May. He might be a little bit overtrained because Golovkin looked fresh as at the
I watched the video they workout. Had on main
but that,
event
that
the
doesn't
other
necessarily
day.
Mean anything. You, get, you, cool. you train shit, take 3 days off, you come back train $1 million. You never really know. So I got some interesting details on the contract. Madison Square Garden actually missed out on
getting
the fight
it.
On.
Yeah. They were going to put that on, were they?
Yeah, they got outbid by the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Yeah, wow.
There is a rematch clause in Canelo's contract. So if Canelo loses, immediate rematch with Triple G. If Triple G loses, there's no rematch clause.
Yeah, right.
There's seems also, like they're setting this up for Canelo, aren't
100%. They? 100%. Mate, if Triple G looked good against Kell Brook and Danny Jacobs, this fight wouldn't be happening. They've done Sugar Ray and Marvin... Marvin Hagler. They waited till he started looking a bit old and a bit soft in the same division, and now they've decided.
See, people
to
forget too, because how long ago was it Canelo fought Mayweather? Was that about 4 years ago?
No, that's 2013.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Well, that's 4 years ago, Ben.
That's 4 years.
No. It's 4 years.
But I mean, he obviously got beaten by Mayweather in that fight, and everyone said that was the first guy that was going to bother Mayweather because he's such a big puncher and stuff.
He was
Mayweather
a baby. Just he was lost in that. He was lost in this.
That's the thing. He was during the headlights. Yeah. Then he's a much different fighter now. Isn't he going up against Triple G?
He's the biggest draw in boxing at the moment, and mate, I rate him big time. I give him the edge.
Well, you said 2 weeks ago on our last podcast that you said he's going
to
win.
I'll give him the edge. I reckon if I had to put my money on someone, it'd definitely be Chukie. Him. I reckon he's just got
Canelo?
More weapons.
I think Canelo as well. I mean, it's all in it. I've seen with boxing, if it's in someone's favour, it goes that way. Like every time they set it up that way, it's that way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's less punches chance sort of that philosophy. Yeah. You know? It's like, Triple G if he catches him, but... They've set this up for Canelo.
Yeah.
Like, it's his.
Like, obviously, anything can happen. Blah, blah, blah. But especially with Triple G, man. But I reckon the biggest difference between the two guys is, well, Triple G is a slightly bigger man, but there's not much in it. But Canelo's defense is heaps better. Triple G, as I said, doesn't move his
He'll
head.
Eat a shot to where it takes to place they're both, a shot.
Triple G fights more Mexican style than bloody Canelo.
Yeah.
Canelo's defense, he's got the mad Mexican roll. He, like, even if he looks like he's going to get hit, he just rolls with a shot and it glances off. His defense, and you can see it even in some of his knockouts, more than one, he'll land the knockout shot and still move his head out of the way of that last little shot that's coming at him.
Yeah.
So that's just, you can tell he's been professional since he was 15 years old. He's an absolute weapon. So based solely upon his defensive prowess, I'm going to give the edge to Canelo, but if he gets flatlined in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He's fighting the hardest punch in middleweight ever. So just quickly on some 2 hour old, being Monday night here, September 11, there's footage TMZ just popped up of Adrian Broner pushing and shoving this chick in Vegas and cracking this dude in the face. It's all over TMZ. So that's going on in Vegas right now. No. And mate, Adrian Broner, he's just.
Hasn't he been in trouble? He's been in trouble before.
Yeah, he's a full crumb. Like he's just he's so unlikable. He's just this stereotypical ghetto douche.
Dickhead.
Sorry if he goes to jail. That's it.
Nice. That would be very good. And just quickly, I mean, we mentioned at the top of the show, just
Diamond Dave.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, Diamond Dave Toussaint, obviously on Friday night, took the win. Probably not the way he wanted to get the win. It was stopped due to accidental head clash. And
I believe he was winning on that.
Opened right up.
Yeah, I believe he was winning on. Where was it? On the forehead?
Yeah, just up on his left. And it was huge. It was 2 or 3 inches long and it was piercing out.
Was it bleeding into his eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah. The Staff brothers couldn't come. But, we couldn't make the fight.
So obviously,
we were allowed out of home.
There's a few ties, I think, because of Juco with fighting on the undercard of the Battle of Brisbane and stuff. So you'd think something like that would be next for Dave now that he's got the Aussie strap. Like
but it's not Pacquiao now. It's like
Jesse Vargas. Yeah.
Well, they're not going to be able to sell out the same size of arena for that.
Well, they were still talking about putting it on at Suncorp.
Yeah.
It won't be the same.
No, it won't be the same, not at all, because there was a ton of Filipinos. Yeah, even when we watched it at Hellenic Club,
it was all Filipinos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were in bloody Manila. It was but still I don't reckon Suncorp, but how many did they sell? 55,000 tickets?
Something like that, yeah.
I reckon Horn on his own against no one knows Jesse Vargas.
Queensland, but he'd pull Queenslanders 20. Will go out in Queensland. Yeah, they'd be much better putting it at like the tennis centre or inside one of the big arenas there, wouldn't they?
No,
yeah,
it's a big arena to sell out for, and especially in that weather. It's going to be pretty hot.
Bloody hot up there at that time of year, so maybe they may move it into an arena, you don't know. But it'll be interesting to see if Dave ends up on the undercard of that. But we had him in here probably, that was the very start of this season it was, and you know, this was the plan then, and he's pulled it off, so good on him.
Nice work. I'm looking forward to watching his fight. I haven't seen it yet.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards, and Steve Payos.
God bless the interwebs.
Time to say thanks to our wonderful sponsors, The Butcher Shop, here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Without Ian and the crew, we wouldn't be here doing this stupid stuff every week. Benny, I know it's your fight fuel. You've been a crook, so you haven't been in there, but you're heading in this week for a fill-up, my friend.
Maybe if I was in there a bit more, I wouldn't have got staff. Maybe if Duke was in there, he wouldn't have given me staff.
Where do you think I got it, mate? You think I just produced it?
Mate, the amount of people you get up close and personal with, they could have come from anywhere.
I guarantee you that the miracle bacon at the butcher shop will cure anything, Benny. So instead of going to hospital and get staff cut out next time, just wrap it around your arm poultice style.
Bacon fixes everything.
It does. Man. Bacon is a wonder drug.
I'm down to bacon.
It seriously is. But if you haven't been into the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen, folks, it is Canberra's best meat, hands down. Everything's made on the premises. Nothing is out of a box. It's all off an actual animal.
And fancy stuff that's easy to cook.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're a useless kid moved out of home, you can't cook for yourself. Well, when Ben house sat for me, I bought him all this food to cook. All he did was eat my wife's chocolates. But you know, it's true. He shared about 5 kilos of Christmas chocolate here. We come back, it was all gone. All gone.
I wasn't feeling too good, though.
Get into the butcher shop, get some protein, and you'll be fighting fit in no time. Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days. Dixon is open 6, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, that's not Alan. Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
It's another top five from Scotty Timon, mate. If it's no good, you're going straight back to hospital.
Well, last podcast, I told the story about how I died on the table. And you went, that was awesome. That was much better than a top five. I'm like, oh, thanks.
I like Scotty's top five, man.
I like him in near-death experiences better.
Well, this one, very topical top five.
I got a new phone today, man.
Did you? What'd you get?
I don't know.
Why'd you get a new phone today?
The new one's coming out next month. The guy told me, but I don't give a shit.
Okay, so you've got an iPhone 7 there. That's an iPhone 7 Benny's got.
Idiot! The iPhone comes out tomorrow!
I've got an iPhone 6 that I've been sitting on for 2 years, and it's well looked after, and I'm like, I'm not going to get the 7. I don't need it.
Cut his mic.
I want to wait till the iPhone 8.
Cut his mic.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the 8 tomorrow. Yeah.
So tomorrow.
I'm pulling the plug, man.
It'll be early Wednesday morning our time. We get the announcement from Cupertino, the new Steve Jobs Theatre, and by all reports.
And what can the new phone do that this one can't?
Everything, Benny. We're going to be much better and socially more important than you. Duke and I will have the iPhone X.
How's it better?
iPhone X.
Is X videos come up better?
I imagine.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, actually, it's going to have an OLED screen with more high def, so your red tube will look much better.
No, I'm an X-Videos guy, man.
There you go. So you guys, yeah,
Duke lives the X-Video life.
But that's what they're saying. They're going to say this.
Stop scratching, man.
It's going to be the most pivotal iPhone in Apple's history, because the first one, the iPhone 3, is the one that changed the world, and the 3GS when it came out. That's the one I remember in Canberra. One of the sales guys at the radio station had it, and everyone's like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
And
it just... It's amazing how far things
you could pretend you're drinking. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's little insane. Things like
that. Yeah, the old Zippo lighter wrap back in the day and all that stuff.
Man, the Motorola Razr with the blue like lights and shit, that was the shit in 2004, man. It's only 13 years later, man.
I know. This is unbelievable. Pretty quick. Man. So iPhone X is what they're saying. All reports it's going to be the iPhone X, not the iPhone 8, because it's been 10 years since the release of the first iPhone.
It's going to be huge, man. It's going to be huge.
It is. It's going to be massive. So biggest screen, as we know, the OLED screen, which is actually made by Samsung, but Samsung got the idea for all their phones off the original iPhone, so that's the one that started it all. What else are we going to find out this week? Well, we know, and it's the way it always works in Australia, so they'll release it Wednesday morning our time, and it'll be on sale 10 days later, so it'll be about September 22 when you can get your hands on this iPhone. So Benny, when you come in for the podcast, I'll show you what you're missing out on. So no fingerprint scanner. It's going to be face scan. It's going to unlock itself by measuring your face like it does your thumbprint.
Wireless charging, they reckon.
Wireless charging.
Well, I'm actually known at my phone shop, because they go in there and they go, oh, you're the guy that got the flip phone. They go, you're not the only person under 40 that's ever got one.
Mate, flip phone, if it wasn't, I mean, you saw Breaking Bad. I gave you the Blu-rays of that. Yeah, every drug dealer in the world uses a flip phone. If the police are out there and they see a flip phone, you know they're selling drugs. Yeah.
It's a burner.
Anyway, we've got a bit of pull being the most famous podcast in Canberra, so I've got a little bit of info, so it's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top 5.
It's the top 5 cool things we've been told the new iPhone X will have, Benny. So this is what yours doesn't, but these ones will have, okay? Coming in at number 5, a testicle scratching app.
Should have waited, man.
You should have waited. I reckon that's worth the price of admission alone, because they are saying in Australia the top of the Wozza phone this time around is going to be about $1,400.
Yeah.
So unless you're getting it on the plan. Man,
split it on the plan. Yeah. It's a
way to do it.
$1,400, I'd need a ball sucker app. Seriously.
Number 4, finally capitalising the I at the beginning of iPhone on this one. Is that going to be worthy? No?
Isn't that...
I like that one. Yes. Edward is...
Yeah, he's a hard taskmaster.
He just didn't get it.
It's because he's a bit punchy.
everything okay there, man?
I feel fine.
Number 3 in the top 5 cool things we've been told the new iPhone has: a dick pic filter allowing young ladies to turn any feral pic of some loser's junk into pics of fairy floss kittens or Charlie Hunnam's abs.
Stevie
so,
Jim,
you're out of a job.
This is Stevie Payos.
Lucky to be a screen.
Does Stevie Payos have a little suit on his penis?
He's got a tie on it, a bow tie.
Oh, dear. I didn't tell him to say that, Stevie.
I'll be
2.
Texting Steve, mate. Why'd you send me some fairy floss, man?
An app for the camera that senses when you're on the shitter, so it won't allow the camera to open in selfie mode, thus showing you what your number 2 face looks like.
I've got a photo on my phone of Duke doing a poo.
When? When was that
phone? Yeah, we'll just texting away.
What,
and I go,
face up?
It's full body, but yeah. And I'm like,
text a lot.
We're talking about training or something. And then I go, what are you up to? Or something.
Generic.
And he just,
I'm honest.
Where's that app?
I'll quite often answer my phone while I'm on the loo, but no photos.
Yeah. Oh, if I go, hey, Scotty, how are you?
Yeah, I'm on the loo.
You know what's going on.
I'm in the office.
How are you? Kaplunk.
There's the drum roll, and it's time for number 1 in the top 5 cool things we've told the new iPhone has. Jennifer Lawrence's home phone number. Also, you can get that off Steve Payos as well.
I'll bet you can.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty, Benny, and Duke Didier filling in this week for Stevie P, who's off on the taxpayer dime working hard again. He's the hardest working man in Canberra, Stevie P. Duke, we've got some questions coming up, a listener question, and I think you get to do armbar of the week instead of an uppercut this week, because that was great last time.
Took me 15 minutes
to make that sound effect. I'm going to just have to go and download that episode and just take it out of it again.
That was the perfect thing. Umpire of the week. That's right. What was it called? Talking takedowns with Duke.
That's the one. Nice work. But we sort of alluded to it at the top of the show. You've been training despite your little bout of sickness. But you and Ben have swapped, you know, because you share everything.
Kind of ranked, but kind of cute.
The light heavyweight strap, that was back in April, wasn't it, for Brace? So what's next on the cards? Out of town.
Yeah, look, it's all out of town now.
Yep.
I'm keen to fight. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm a little heavy, but I'm ready.
Yeah, but you're not fat bastard. Heavy. Not,
look at him.
Duke's heavy and my heavy looks a bit different. Duke's heavy is better than I'll ever look in my life.
Heavy isn't irresponsibly doing too many weights, but like, I'm keen. I'm ready to go. I'm fit. As I said, I trained all the way through to help with get Ben ready.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm still training, so I'm keen. I'm going to do some jiu-jitsu comps, some more.
Yeah.
I got a call from the high performance guys at their IS for judo. They've asked me to come in and help bash the junior worlds team.
That's gonna make you feel good.
Just gonna get back to the bash some kids.
He always does things like that. Who was there? Was that kid a blue belt in the gym the other week?
And he got selected for the Junior Commonwealth Games. So I got on the mat and give him a hiding to help him.
He
got second at the Junior Commonwealth Games.
So I thought we got first. He didn't fuck him up.
Yeah, I'm not sorry.
He was just ragdolling this kid before training. Duke couldn't even warm up. This kid's walked in on top of the world. Yeah, I made the world. This is going to be awesome. And then he's just getting thrown around.
Well, how do you think I felt for my whole career? I do unto others as I was done to, you know?
So who was throwing you around back in the day?
The Hill Brothers, where I trained there at Hill Sports Academy. That gave me an absolute hiding. and that's the thing. Eventually, you catch up and you get them back. But, so I'll do that. I don't mind. I've been enjoying coaching. I've been enjoying just helping out. But I'm enjoying the process of MMA. Learning every week. It's always different. Everything's coming along. The staff sucked, but other than that, and I'll get back down to Melbourne, train with Dan Kelly. He's my judo coach before I started. He was actually my judo opponent.
Yeah, wow.
And now I've got him.
Because he's fighting in November again.
Theodore.
Yeah, some Greek name, but he's long a Canadian.
Theodore Alphabet.
Yeah, yep. And he's, Fabio. Very, very, very sleek, but I think Daniel is going to just make it an ugly fight as he does. It just,
How's his knee? Because that was...
He doesn't give a shit.
He just doesn't care.
His knee's not a new injury. It's a meniscus. So he knows how to treat it. So it doesn't inhibit him at all.
He's the Shawn Michaels of the UFC. Right, okay. He's just got a permanent knee injury and just keeps rolling with it.
Keeps on limping, keeps on smashing. He spars 3 or 4 times a week. He's an absolute... But because he did so much grappling, he didn't have a childhood of getting punched in the head. So he can. And, you know, he's got a good couple of years. He told me he wants to have 10 more fights or something, or 8 more fights.
How old is he?
He's 40.
He's a legend. And, mate, I believe him.
And I mean, for you two guys as well, with where you're at in your MMA careers, when you see guys like Dan Kelly and Robert Whittaker, Tyson Pedro, Bam Bam Tuivasa, obviously Mark Hunt's been there and done it for years. And there's been other Aussies in there as well. But, you know, to see those guys coming through, it's got to make you guys go, there is light at the end of this tunnel.
It creates opportunity, networking and stuff for us. Because I had Tyson Pedro and Ty Tuivasa trying to message me the other day, and they said, look, the UFC scouts were just at Jackson Wink, where Tyson Pedro just did his last camp, and said they're looking for heavies. And he put my name in the hat, and they said, mate, if you get to 4-0, you're definitely going to get a shot. And Duke being a heavier guy as well, all the heavier weight divisions go to other sports, as I've said in here 50 times. So we just got to get the right opponent and we'll get our opportunity.
Just keep slugging away. I mean, we're both...
Duke's been offered two murderers. He got offered Thiago Silva, who held a gun to his wife's head and he's crazy, went to jail and shit. UFC let him go. And the other guy, Vinny Margulies, is like one of the best grapplers in MMA ever.
Yeah, right.
Hands down.
So we got offered some fights.
So if there are 10, we're looking at... We want some eights.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still new at this, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying everything about it, and it's good. And we've got me and Ben are doing this every week. It's come along really nicely.
So you're saying November possibly for you?
I'll be the end of the year too, so it'll be good. We're both fighting near the same timing. And
I'm looking at
both push each
November,
other.
And basically, and if there's any promoters listening to this show, I'm keen. Let me on. Let me bang.
we'll tag them. I'll tag them in the comments of the podcast when it goes up.
Let me shoot, bro.
Let me wrestle.
But well, I mean, from a Canberran point of view, we know the two fighting promoters here in town. That if you're going to fight in town, the two guys you go and fight for. What is next for you guys? Is it like AFN? Is it Hex? Like who do you go to?
Yeah, well, look, basically, yeah, as I said, I feel like it's nothing against the guys in town, but we've sort of we've done that.
Yeah, yeah, you've got
and,
to move
and,
on.
It's time to move on and see, you know, take the next step and try and make name in the MMA circuit nationally. Yeah. And there's some good shows out there. There's AFC down in Melbourne. Also,
and that's
Hex.
Getting plenty of Foxtel coverage, too.
Hex gets a lot of. And then there's one on the Gold Coast called ACB. It's not on the Gold Coast. It's in Russia. And they're a really, really big popular show. And they're coming into the Gold Coast and they're doing a show there.
Okay.
So look, and there's other shows as well all around.
Well, Peter Graham actually called me during the week.
Nice.
And I hadn't spoken to him since we fought 2 years ago.
Oh, really? Yeah, I know you've spoken. I've seen you've spoken to him on Facebook.
Yeah, that's only like a little hello. Yep, good, and that's it.
He had got me. So
did he?
Remember on Facebook?
I like
him. Ben put a photo of him as a lion and then I commented of two lions having sex.
Show some respect, dude.
I told him to show some respect, mate.
I'm with him. I'm not taking respect. Beats off.
Benny's a warrior.
That was a great photo, though. That montage after your fight was
suspended. I made Duke do that.
I made the photo.
I gave you the photos. You just mushed them together.
I showed some respect. I put them all together. I did it all. No worries, Mr. Graham.
He said, mate, there's opportunities in Russia and shit as well. So, yeah.
Well, he's made a full career out of fighting everywhere but the UFC,
Got a house out of it, man. He's made quite a lot of money.
I think he makes quite a lot of money fighting outside of the UFC.
Yeah, especially KSW and that. Because they sold out, I don't know if they sold out, but they're putting on shows at Wembley Stadium. Yeah, well, they must have a bit of coin.
The next KSW show is going to be big. It's McSweeney versus that Pudanowski, the world's strongest man.
Yeah, wow.
So James McSweeney was on the Ultimate Fighter K1.
Yeah, he
won.
He got Taito of us. He couldn't come out against Taito of us.
Yeah, so I was down live for that show. I actually trained with McSweeney down there.
Duke picked McSweeney to win. I picked correctly.
I know why you like because he was an arrogant tool the week of that fight, wasn't he? Yeah. In the lead up to it.
He's a cool dude, man. I like him, mate.
Apparently, in a person, he's pretty cool.
He was a really cool dude.
In the ring, sometimes
he was doing the do.
He does some douchey stuff in the ring. It was a Roy Nelson, I think. Years ago, he's like doing the old go and tap me on the chin, like, come on, hit me. And Roy Nelson just cracked
him. Knocked him out.
Fucking smashed him.
It happens to the best of us.
that's fantastic. All right, well, I'll tag some of those big fight promoters in this post when it goes up on Facebook. Let's see if we can get your gig somewhere.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, I'm in talks with ACB. Hex are doing, like, Daniel's talking to Hex this week.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
So, Daniel Kelly does all my stuff for me. But yeah.
Like, something's got to pop up.
Yeah. Well, as I said, ACB, they said they're keen. They said, well, you can sign a contract now.
Well, as you said, you're both connected enough. You've been around long enough.
You're 7-0 now.
6-0, yeah.
6-0,
yeah. But that's the problem is that's very enticing to a fucking Thiago Silva or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll fight anyone in the fucking country. Like, just fucking someone that's at my level. There's that Nathan Reddy. There's fucking.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys out there that
before you step up to the
Chick's just outdone you in the f*** department tonight already. In that last two
That's
sentences.
That's my boy.
We f***ing bang.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
And this one from Shane Peters on the email. I'll be interested on your take on this one, boys. It says, after the Conor and Mayweather fight, more and more rumours are leaking that Stipe Miocic says he's ready to take on Anthony Joshua in a boxing fight. Joshua's come out this week and said he's happy to do it and you shouldn't be calling people out like that if it is a boxing fight. What's your thoughts on this prospect? Surely Joshua would walk through him, wouldn't he?
It's a mismatch in a boxing fight, but it'll never happen, man. Stipe doesn't have the pull.
Yeah, so it's not the same.
Anthony Joshua can make a ton more money fighting anyone else in the top 20.
In the boxing game.
In the boxing world.
Stipe's not much of a draw in the UFC, let alone in the boxing world.
He should be. Like, the guy's
he's a firefighter.
He's a working class murderer.
Cool.
Yeah. He's just a cool dude.
You think he's more of the fighter's fighter, right?
And Crows, man. Crows will support.
He's got a whole following. They've got two countries behind him, but that'll never happen. He's just not big enough of a draw. The only reason Conor got the chance is because he's such a huge draw, and Floyd could make so much money by fighting him.
Yeah,
that's probably going to be a once in a lifetime thing. Yeah, lifetime. I can't see it happening again anytime soon. I think Stipe, both of them would happily take the fight. Stipe knows he'd probably get smashed, but payday. would be probably better than what he's on now, but it's not worth it for Anthony Johnson.
Yeah, Anthony Joshua.
Joshua.
Yeah, I think there were a few sort of doubts over Joshua's, you know, I mean, he had a stellar career coming up through the Olympics and all that sort of stuff, but...
And even AJ's not the draw.
I think until he beat Klitschko, I think there was sort of question marks over his head, but after that fight with Klitschko, no, which was awesome. Just an amazing fight,
yeah,
he's awesome. Gone to that next level, hasn't he?
I want to see him versus Deontay Wilder.
Deontay Wilder. He looks like he's bloody having an epileptic fit.
Yeah, but that's why I want to see it. I reckon
he'll knock him out.
He looks like he's having a fit when he's in the ring, doesn't he?
Man, for the WBC was so prestigious. That was the shit, man.
And that's the one he's got, yeah.
Yeah, and even the guy that he knocked out, Berman Stavern.
Yeah.
Even him, he's not like, I could hang with those guys. I'm not saying I'd win, but it'd be a competitive fight.
Yep.
And I'm not world-class boxer, especially now.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to fight Louis Ortiz, Joshua, Joe Parker, they would destroy me. It wouldn't even be close. Yep. I'd show up. But in terms of Wilder,
yeah, we show up.
the level is it's a bit sad. But that's also probably alludes to what I said before about most heavies going to other sports. So that's why these guys that aren't as talented as, say, the guys from the 90s and early 2000s are getting these massive opportunities and paydays. So same goes for MMA.
You'd never see it the other way around. There's no way a boxer that was right in the head would step in the cage, is
it? No, it's only if you're desperate and need money like James Toney.
Who's that guy that just fought David Haye? Who fought David Haye last?
Tony Bellew.
Tony Bellew, who won?
He called out Bisping and he said, I'll come in and fight you in MMA.
Really?
Tony Bellew. He's a pretty...
He's the guy that was in Rocky 6, wasn't he?
He was the villain in Rocky 6.
He was the villain in Rocky 6, yeah.
He's a pretty...
Creed. Yeah.
Rocky 7.
I like... He's actually pretty funny well-spoken dude, Tony.
I like that. Anyway, yeah, he said, I don't know, I've got chokes, I've got strangles.
Yeah. I'll fight you. James Tony says, yeah, I know how to do... What do you say, you guys? I know how to do check kicks. And all that stuff. Where's my money?
So, yeah, you don't think Stipe and Joshua will be a thing at all?
That'll never happen. No, that'll never happen. There's not enough money to be made by doing it. So much time and effort for something that it's not going to be very rewarding to anyone except, you know, maybe... Anthony Joshua,
the promoter.
KO.
Indeed. All right, well, we're going to let Duke cut sick with a bit of an armbar next, but first we're going to play a little bit of music. And Canberra lads Peking Duck, they've just gone from strength to strength over the last couple of years, teamed up with the Lunar George for what they're saying is going to be one of the biggest Aussie hits of spring 2017. You be the judge. Fake Magic is the name of this one on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to The Butcher Shop.
What I got.
That was Fake Magic by the Canberra lads, Peking Duck and a Lunar George. Now it's time to move on to, usually it's our uppercut or high five of the week, but because we have a very special guest, well, he's the only
guest. Favourite fighting son.
It's time for our second armbar of the week.
Yeah, indeed. So we were talking before about the NRL bunker. A lot of people are saying the NRL bunker needs to go. It's $2 million poorly spent and get rid of the second referee on the field, given what happened to Manly and Cronulla on the weekend.
What do they reckon? One ref would be better.
Yeah, well, they reckon back then that you know, you look back on some of the great grand finals of the 90s and stuff, where there was still a video ref, but not like the bunker, and it was one ref on the field, that they backed themselves to make more decisions.
Darren Albert was 47 years ago, mate.
Get did I say 1997?
I can see it in your eyes, man.
But I think having a second ref has stuffed the game up.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
I honestly do.
Slow it down?
Yeah, I think that. And I just think refs, they're too busy looking around for help to make a decision. No one's got the balls to make a decision anymore.
Yeah. Oh, mate, referees are pretty bloody unforgiving. Oh,
it's a tough gig. Yeah,
if you do the right thing, you don't really get a pat on the back. You do the wrong thing, the whole world's on you.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's how it works. What is it? Those who can't play ref? Is that 100%. Like those who can't do teach? Same sort of thing?
No, it's like, hey, we teach.
Those who can't do a real sport do bodybuilding.
I know, but you said you've been keeping an eye on it. You've been keeping an eye on it. You don't reckon it should go?
Oh, look, it's hard because you watch it and you go, okay, my team lost, so I'm going to complain about the ref.
Yeah.
That's a standard.
Yeah, but that's what it's just now. It's so, like, it's just straight to it now. Like, these last two games, yeah, they could have gone either way. And, yeah, the Melbourne Storm, yeah, they are getting a bit of a ride.
Yeah.
But your team lost, and in that second game, what, Penrith beat? Oh, the Cowboys. Was it? No, Penrith won by, like, two
one
tries.
Point, yeah.
Or two tries, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Who, I don't know.
There was one, and they were complaining, oh, we got to try this allowed, or we got... but it was, like, two tries in it, you know? You can't blame the ref. The ref doesn't change the whole course of a game.
No, Cowboys beat the Sharks by 1 point.
Yeah, no, that other game.
Extra
the other
time.
One, the other one.
But the Sharks missed 34 tackles in that game.
Yeah.
You don't win a game of rugby league when you miss 34 tackles.
Yeah, well.
Well, it's the same. I put it back to fighting. Don't leave it in the hands of the judges. Don't let the refs... Don't make it so close that the refs can change the course of the game.
Yeah, Sean Fenton, and I love Sean Fenton when he played here for the Raiders, but he's a lock. He's not a front row. He started in the front row for the Cowboys because they've got so many injuries.
Were they that line on, were they?
Yeah, well, Matt Scott's out, Thurston's out, and one of their other big guns was out. Tamalolo just ate them for breakfast. He just destroyed them. He ran for 260 metres.
I still think he could be used a bit better. He could be more involved as well.
Tamalolo?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
he's already all over it.
He had a great game on the weekend.
They're paying him well.
Yeah. 10 mil for 10 years.
10 mil for 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, he's got his gold grill now. He's got his gold teeth and his Xbox and all that stuff.
Apparently that gives a really bad breath, man.
Getting the gold tooth?
Yeah. Really? Not like a gold, like an actual grill.
Yeah, right.
Okay. People still have grills.
Rub the jury star, tell them make me a grill.
So we're saying to all the NRL fans. Well, I think to all the NRL fans that just constantly whinge about the rest. Well, Paul Gallen, he had a big whinge. Just arm bar, Paul.
That's a big arm for me to read.
If anyone can do it, you can do it, mate. You ready?
Yeah, no worries. All right. Hey, Gal.
Oh, that is a cracker.
His boxing career is over.
Yeah, well, I think Sonny Bill's ducked him.
Is he?
He's purple belt, but did you say, I'd love that comp.
Paul Gallen is a purple belt, is he? Yeah, right, okay.
I don't know, I reckon they give the belt out a little too easy. To some people, away.
Just trying to draw a bit of attention to the academy, jiu-jitsu academy or something. Probably.
Hey, I reckon show up to one of those comps in Sydney and see if he's there, right?
Snap.
Call him out. Paul Gallen will tag him as well. Paul Gallen, Duke Didier, wants to wrestle you.
And I'll box you before it.
Please box you before.
Oh, Christ, I'd mortgage the house to promote that fight. That'd be fantastic.
Money well spent.
All right, Benny, next week on the podcast, barring any staff infections, it'll obviously be the wrap-up of Canelo on Triple G.
I can't wait.
Were you watching it?
I'm excited. Probably Hellenic in the city.
Yeah?
That's a spot.
That's our little spot, eh? That's a little hang.
That's where we usually go. Need a nappy poo after work.
I'll go in there first before the fight and wipe everything down with Dettol.
You got to kill him with fire, man. Just burn it to the ground.
Duke, thanks for stepping up again, mate, with Stevie being away.
Last
time you're in here.
The Staff Brothers.
Last time. You're just like the Stafford Brothers, except they write hits.
No music.
The Staff Brothers. We're the Staff.
We write each other off.
We write all each right. other. What?
I'm going to say get a big black dog. I can't even talk this. I'm going to say get a big black dog up you.
Is this still coming out on Thursday?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, earlier? Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next Thursday.
There you go. Jerky, you want to wrap it up, mate?
I'm I'll see you guys when I see you guys. I'll see you guys next week. I'm coming back. Don't worry about it.
That wasn't as good as your last one.
No. This has been Drew Tiddy. You're on, what was it? Talking takedowns.
Oh, I did the sign off. I'll do a sign off. No.
All right. Sign off, son. Away you go.
I lift T-bone. So, wait. What is it? What is it? All right. Signing off. So, I eat T-bone steaks. I lift barbell plates. Sweeter than a chocolate cake. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Drew Tiddy. Checking out for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. That was better. You just gotta tell me what you want.
That was on the spot. That was good.
You gotta tell me what you want.
That was good.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.
So long.